from July 2016 to December 2021, or the term of President Rodrigo Duterte, there were 427 human rights defenders killed, 2,807 arrested, 1,161 jailed, and 1,367 raided. That was according to data of Human Rights Group Karapatan, and that is the quantitative extent of President Duterte's war on dissent. The qualitative extent of this war is felt by the climate of fear and the chilling effect that was caused by this government, not just on activists, but also journalists, artists, and basically anyone who has something to say against the government. Hello, I am Lian Buan, and you are listening and watching the live recording of the Law of Duterte Land podcast. The name will change on July 1, but while we're still here, we're still discussing controversial policies of the Duterte executive government, gaps in the law, and court decisions that shake long-standing principles in the legal profession. Recently, local police in Tarlac did a mass arrest of peasant leaders, artists, journalists, and their supporters during a cultivation activity of an agrarian reform grant of land over there. We just received breaking news that police have filed additional complaints against them. So to talk about that in the big picture of the war on dissent, we will have for today's show Attorney Jobert Pahilga of the Centro para sa Tunay na Reformang Agrario, or CENTRA. Attorney Jobert, maraming salamat for giving us the time for today. Alam ko busy ka with everything that's going on.
Magandang umaga, Lian, at maraming salamat sa invitation.
Yes, Attorney, we received developing breaking news kanina na bukod dun sa kaso ng mischief in the legal assembly, nagsampa na ulit ng panibagong reklamo ang police laban sa Tinang. Ilan ba sila, Attorney? 83? Are we calling them Tinang 83?
Yes, ma'am. Tinang 83.
And ano po yung panibagong reklamo?
Disobedience and resistance to agents of persons in authority, obstruction of justice, and usurpation of real rights over property. So magkakaroon kami ng hearing sa June 29. The 83 are required to submit their counter affidavit to the Office of the Provincial Prosecutor.
Just to clarify, Attorney, yung una, the basis for their arrest, yung mischief and the legal assembly, that already underwent inquest, and in fact, nakakuha na nga kayo ng release order kasi nakapagbayad na kayo ng bail. What does it say na even though meron ng pending charges, and in fact, nakulong na sila, nakapagpiansa na sila, that the police want to add more?
It says a lot. Of course, they wanted to pin down these farmers and their supporters for a baseless offense. In the first place, there is no crime that was committed because the farmers are the owners of the land and they are just cultivating it. Walang kaguluhan, but the cooperative called on the police to arrest not just the 83. In fact, there were more than 90 persons arrested, but just 83 were charged. And today we have a hearing at the Municipal Trial Court of Concepcion, Tarlac, where these 83 were arraigned. And while the hearing was ongoing, the police served to the councils, to the 83, to the councils of 83, these additional 3 charges.
Let's para sa mga hindi masyadong nakasubaybay sa kasong ito, the land, yung lupa ay grant na ng under the Agrarian Reform Program, at nagkakaroon sila ng, tama ba yung pronunciation ko, bungkalan activity. Ano ba yun, Attorney Jobert, and bakit ang daming tao doon? I understand there were artists and there were media covering. What is a cultivation activity ba?
Yung bungkalan is...
Bungkalan.
Bungkalan is the Tagalog term for cultivation. So this is a 200-hectare land that was awarded to the farmers since 1995. They were issued collective certificate of land ownership award. In 2018, the Department of Agrarian Reform already ordered that this land be turned over to the farmers. Nagkaroon na ng survey at dapat i-install na sila sa kanilang mga lupa. But the cooperative filed a petition to nullify this order of the DAR. At ngayon ay pending yan sa regional office ng DAR, regional office number 3. The farmers have been telling the DAR that they should be allowed to cultivate kasi gutom na, wala nang pagkain. Hmm. That's why they had this activity on June 9 para bungkalin o i-cultivate itong portion ng lupa na hindi naman talaga natatamnan ng kooperatiba. And they invited several groups, students, artists, at yung media to cover their peaceful activity. But the cooperative complained to the police at sinasabing sinisira daw ng mga magsasaka yung pananim. And that caused the mass arrest.
Attorney, nung pumunta ba doon yung mga police para suwayin or i-disperse, was it a violent dispersal? Ano ba yung nangyari? Why is there a disobedience and resistance complaint? Ano bang nangyari?
Dumating ang mga police at sinabihan na tumigil itong mga magsasaka sa pagtatanim. And in fact, they did. They stopped. In fact, there is a video na isasabit namin sa court at sinasabi ng mga magsasaka, sige, titigil kami sa pagbubungkal para hindi na sila maaresto. But despite that fact and despite that statement ng mga magsasaka na hindi na sila magpapatuloy ng kanilang cultivation, pinaguhuli pa rin sila lahat ng mga police. The police just arrested anyone and everyone there. Wala silang pinili. Nandoon ka, kasama ka sa hulihin, and they were all brought to Concepcion Police Station, and yun, kinasuhan sila ng several cases. So very violent yung pag-aresto ng mga pulis sa kanila. Pinagbibit-bit sila, syempre yung iba dahil walang kasalanan ayaw sana magpa-aresto, but they were overpowered by the police, and lahat sila ay dinala na sa kulungan.
Attorney Jobert, habang kinukwento mo sa akin yung that in fact this had certificate of land ownerships have been given since the 90s at meron ng order yung DAR since 2018, but my petition, it sounds like any other dragging court issue, and sa sistema natin laging nagtatagal. In your experience in Sentra, ito bang mga ganitong cultivation activity to assert the ownership that has already been given long before, madalas ba yung nangyayari? Marami talagang cultivation activity na nangyayari over the years.
Yes, ginagawa talaga yan. Cultivation is a collective activity kasi yung mga beneficiaries ng lupa, yung mga magsasaka, sabay-sabay yan na pumupunta sa bukid at sabay-sabay binubungkal, inaararo, tinatamnan yung lupa. So, it has been a program of farmers ever since. Kasi kung hindi naman nila i-assert yung collective right nila to the land, ayaw yung ibigay ng may-ari ng lupa. In this case, sila yung may-ari ng lupa, but they were deprived of the use of the land. At kaya, they started this activity.
Attorney, has there ever been a cultivation activity that successfully compelled the private so-and-so owners at na-compel silang, sige, ibibigay na namin sa mga grantee ng agrarian reform program?
Yes, there are so many. Marami. In fact, one of that is Hacienda Luisita. After the massacre, the farmers there, the farm workers of Hacienda Luisita has cultivated 200 hectares of land. At yun ay ginawa nilang collective farm. There are other cultivations in Negros, pero yung may isa yung Sagay Massacre cultivation, yung pinagbabaril yung mga magsasaka doon na nag-cultivate. So iba-ibang experience, may mga successful, yung iba may pinagbabaril, at dito sa may Hacienda Tinang they were arrested.
Attorney, you cite Hacienda Luisita as one of the so-and-so successful, but that doesn't sound promising kasi kailangan pang may mamassacre bagong makompel ang pribadong so-and-so owner to give over the land. I mean, bakit nagpapatuloy? I mean, what is the importance of patuloy magsasagawa ng cultivation activity despite the knowledge that it could result in a massacre? Or diba, parang ito nga pinag-uusapan natin, aresto, parang buti nga aresto lang, but I mean, arrest is never good. So what is the importance of still doing this activity despite that risk?
That is an assertion kasi of the right of the farmers to the land. They are the owners, but they were deprived of the use and of the fruits of the land. So this activity, in a sense, is telling the departments of the government to do their job properly and efficiently and effectively, speedily. Dahil the farmers have no means of income at lupa lang kasi yung kanilang pinagkukunan ng kanilang kabuhayan. Pag hindi kasi inassert din ng farmers yung kanilang karapatan sa lupa, these landowners or those who have control of the land would never give up that control dahil malaki yung kanilang kinikita. In the case of Hacienda Tinang, yung kooperatiba ay matagal nang kumita dyan ng million-million and it did not give any single centavo dito sa mga magsasaka. That is why yung ginawa ng mga magsasaka is just right, legal and morally right, dahil sila ay may-ari ng lupa. And all the other cultivations that had been happening in the Philippines are legally and morally right dahil mga magsasaka naman talaga yung dapat makinabang sa lupa, hindi yung mga kung sinong nagkukontrol o nagmamayari nito.
Attorney Jobert, but must this be this difficult? Meron ng certificate of ownership, meron ng order para sa DAR, but yet we have a system that allows petitions to drag on like this. And in that regard, is this really a genuine agrarian reform kung kailangan laging may mamamatay at maaresto to assert ownership of the land?
Yun ang nakakalungkot. Dahil sa system, sa umiiral na sistema, in fact, we had been arguing ever since that the prevailing agrarian reform law is not a law that favors the farmers but the landowners. Marami kasing siyang mga loopholes. Katulad lang ng Hacienda Luisita, ng Hacienda Tinang, and all the others, pwede nga ma-exempt. In the case of Hacienda Tinang and the others, kahit yung magsasaka na yung may-ari, hindi pa rin silang nakikinabang sa lupa, kahit meron na silang titulo sa lupa. In the case of Hacienda Tinang, yung titulo ng lupa ay binigay sa kooperatiba at hindi nalaman ng mga magsasaka until 2016 that they are the owners of the land. Kaya nung nalaman nila, they filed this petition to the Department of Agrarian Reform telling the DAR to issue the CLOA to them and to install them to their land. Yun yung nangyayari. Yung umiiral na sistema ay mayroong mali at yung departamento ng gobyerno ay hindi pa umaaksyon para sa mga magsasaka.
Alright, I'm gonna pivot to the bigger picture, no, sa what I said in my intro as Duterte's war on dissent. Attorney Jobert, you've been doing this for a long time. How would you characterize yung crackdown ni Pangulong Duterte, even as compared to, let's say, President Arroyo or even Aquino? How would you characterize this crackdown?
Ngayon, mas malala under Duterte administration. May impunity ngayon at lumalabas na matatapang itong mga gumagawa ng paglabag sa karapatang pantao dahil hindi naman napaparusahan. In fact, even the president himself was saying walang pakisya sa human rights, which is napakalungkot. Under the Duterte administration, so many activists were killed, so many activists were subjected to trumped up cases, and this is so far in my recollection is the highest number of arrests na nangyari. So 100 arrested and 83 were charged. So yung prevailing culture of impunity under sa sistemang under sa administration ni Duterte ang nagpalala lalo ng paglabag sa karapatang pantao.
For those who were too young during the Arroyo administration, actually myself included, so naaalala namin dyan, you know, yung the butcher General Palparan, who is now serving sentence. Wala bang impunity noong panahon ni President Arroyo, or is this worse state of impunity now?
Meron ding impunity noong panahon ni President Arroyo, pero unti-unti nagbabayad sila ng kanilang ginawang paglabag. Nga, yung isang example dyan ay si General Palparan. But it was worse under the Duterte administration. Hindi lang natin pag-usapan yung war on drugs. Ito sa Duterte administration, especially when the NTFL CAC was created, kaliwat kanan na lang yung pagre-red tag nila ng mga aktivista. Kahit na hindi ka aktivista, if you are opposing the policy of the government, you are considered a terrorist and the communist. So much worse ngayon under the present dispensation of Duterte.
At bago ko mag-pivot to my other question, meron lang nagtanong sa stream natin from a commenter, sabi, why can't DAR implement their award of land to the farmers? Why wait for a massacre?
That is also our question to the Department of Agrarian Reform, kasi sinasabi nila there are processes to be followed, but these processes are used eventually to prolong the agony of the farmers and to preserve the landholdings of these big landlords. Kaya ang ginagawa ng mga magsasaka ay pumupunta sa DAR at nagrarally nga pa kami sa harap ng DAR, sa tanggapan ng DAR upang maipatupad itong agrarian reform program. Ever since, sinasabi na namin yan na itong existing land reform laws and the legal system is used and abused by the powers that be, yung mga mayayaman, yung mga malalaking Panginoong may lupa, at inaalaw naman ng DAR, whether wittingly or unwittingly. Kaya kailangan mo talagang i-assert pa yung karapatan mo na nandyan at dapat sa iyo at dapat kinikilala na.
Isang singit lang din na question. Ano yung reaction nyo sa appointment ni new incoming Agrarian Reform Chief Conrado Estrella III, ang apo, I understand, ng dating Agrarian Reform Chief ni late Dictator Ferdinand Marcos? Is that a welcome development for you guys?
Actually, we do not personally know that man. Pero sa tingin namin kasi, without the change in the policy and the law, he will just inherit the problems that had been going on noong una hanggang ngayon. So, kailangan talaga natin ng pagbabago sa batas at sa umiral na legal system, especially on agrarian reform. So, hindi pa kami makapag-comment ng man sa kanya because, as I have said, hindi namin siya nakatrabaho, hindi namin siya kilala. And we just hope that sa kanyang pamamalakad ay mapabilis itong prosesong pag-distribute ng mga lupa sa mga magsasaka.
Alright, babalik ako dun sa bigger picture topic kanina. You mentioned NTFL CAC and red tagging. The publicity campaign against the progressives has always been there panahon pa ng older Marcos. But how did it change when in the rise of social media, yung rapid spreading of misinformation and disinformation, na biktima rin ba kayong mga kahanay ng progressive ranks, the peasant, the ranks of peasants and activists?
Yes, ma'am. Napakalaking napakalaking dinulot na pinsala nito sa amin. For one, yung party list ng mga magsasaka, yung Anak Pawis party list, had been consistently represented in Congress noon. Ano? But for two successive elections, ni isa ay hindi siya nakakakuha ng seat. So, matindi yung red tagging sa mga organizations, hindi lang mga personalities, kundi sa mga organizations. Yung Kilusang Magbubukid ng Pilipinas, yung Amihan. In fact, yung Amihan, yung kanyang bank account ay na-freeze ngayon ng AMLA because of the impact. Then sa social media, yung massive disinformation and misinformation na ginagawa, demonizing these legitimate people's organization and personalities. At yung mga, siyempre, yung mga nagbabasa naman sa social media, hindi talaga critical thinkers kung ano yung sinusulat doon, ay naniniwala agad. Kaya matindi yung nangyari. Imbis na tulungan yung mga magsasaka dahil sa campaign, that is a state campaign, especially ng NTFL-CAC, at yung mga trolls, tinamaan itong mga peasant organizations and nahihirapang kumilos, lalo na yung mga tumutulong sa kanila, dahil pagpunta mo sa kanayunan, isasabihin supporter ka na ng NPA.
Aside from red tagging, and I won't mention na yun because we don't want to dignify labeling, one of the dominant narrative against the progressives, and I'm gonna be blunt here, yung tipong reklamo kayo ng reklamo, lahat inaasa nyo sa gobyerno. Did that narrative change in the social media era? And ano yung mga nadagdag or nabago sa tingin nyo that posed really a great challenge for you to counter the narrative against peasants, activists?
Hindi yan nabago. Lumala pa ngayon. Pinapalabas kasi sa social media na itong mga aktivistang ito, itong mga magsasakang ito ay walang kasiyahan, walang... hindi ba nagkasya na lang sa nangyayari? So, nasabi nila na, nga, puro lang rally, puro lang reklamo. Tapos, pinapalabas pa na yung assertion ng iyong ng karapatan is bad and illegal. Yun yung masama doon. Yung legitimate expression of dissent and exercise of one's right ay nababago yung paningin dahil sa social media. At sinasabi na ito ay hindi tama, ito ay mali, ito ay isang gawain ng mga terorista na siyempre lalong nagpapasama sa imahe ng mga aktivista.
So, attorney, after 36 years in 2022, the battle is still really changing hearts and minds of those who are critical of the of activism. Paano nyo to mababago?
Mayroong counter ano naman diyan, mayroong counter attack naman diyan, at syempre ang basic is of organizing and educating people. Yung mga kung mayroong panahon na makausap yung iba, ine-explain ano yung totoo at ano yung mali at ano yung ano yung tama. So, ang problema lang kasi mas malaki yung resources ng government na gumagawa nito na numero uno versus sa resources nitong mga nagsusulong ng karapatang pantao, nagsusulong ng kanilang lehitimong mga demands. So, it's really a big challenge na i-educate itong mga tao para maintindihan nila na itong mga ginagawa ng aktivista ay hindi masama, and these are protected rights under the Constitution and under the law. Yun yung challenge is paano mapaunawa sa marami, sa karamihan, na yung mga aktivista hindi masasama, hindi yan mamatay tao, at yung ginagawa nila hindi lang yan para sa kanilang sarili kundi para din sa buong mamamayan dapat.
Saan po ba kaya nanggagaling? Why is it difficult for many people, not just some, many people to empathize with the struggles of the marginalized that led us here 36 years later na mahirap pa rin magbago ng isip at puso ng mga tao pagdating sa aktivismo?
Sa tingin ko kasi yung karamihan ay hindi nagki-care doon sa nangyayari because they would rather that they work for a day to live. Karamihan ng mamamayan ay inuuna yung kanilang pangangailangan. Dahil sa kahirapan na rin, yung mga issues na legitimate issues na sinusulong ng mga aktivista ay nagiging secondary sa kanila. Yung pangunahin sa kanila ay how to survive. And syempre, pangalawa, yung education system natin, lalo na ngayon, tinanggal na nga yung history class. So, yung education system natin ay isa rin problema dahil pini-perpetuate nito yung status quo at yung pagiging critical thinkers ng mga estudyante ay parang nawawala na. So yung mga estudyante ngayon ay natututo ng kung ano yung tama at mali dahil pa sa pagjo-join ng mga organizations, hindi ito tinuturo karamihan sa mga eskwelahan. So yun yung siguro yung kahirapan at yung the present education system.
Tingin mo ba, sir, in the 6 years of the Duterte government, masasabi mo bang medyo nabawasan kayo sa hanay? Because may mga natakot talagang, parang ayoko na, it's chilling effect, there's climate of fear.
Yes, ma'am. Sabi ko nga kanina, yung talagang pinaka-expression ng pagbawas ng hanay, yung pagbawas ng representation ng makabayan sa Kongreso. From 8 naging 3 sa ngayon, 3 ano. So dahil mayroon talagang deliberate and systematic na attempt to cripple down itong mga aktivista, yung kanilang organization, yung pinapatay, inaaresto, kinakasuhan. So yun yung pinaka malalang nangyari under the Duterte administration.
What's your outlook for President-elect Ferdinand Marcos Jr.? Some that I've talked to in the human rights community have this cautious optimism na dahil a legacy is at stake for this family, it's not gonna be like a martial law. And they're optimistic that he will be better. He will have a better view and better treatment for the human rights community and activists. Do you share the same cautious optimism?
Sa tingin namin, mas lalong lalala under the Marcos administration. First, ifo-follow lang din niya yung sistema under Duterte administration. Siyempre, copycat lang yan kung ano yung nangyayari kay Duterte. At sa panahon ni Duterte, tingin namin pagpapatuloy lang ni Mr. Marcos. And second, may history na kasi talaga ng antagonism si Mr. Marcos sa mga aktivista. In fact, when activists were arrested, mayroon pa ako nabasa when somebody was killed, kinocongratulate pa niya at sinasabing they deserve such kind of treatment or they deserve the, yung nangyari dahil mga terrorist and communist ito. So, sabi nga nila, baka magbago si Bongbong kasi si Mr. Marcos kasi babawiin niya daw ang pangalan ng kanilang pamilya. Mm. Pero on the contrary, sa tingin namin ay mas lalong lalala yung paglabag sa karapatang pantao under his administration.
For the record, President-elect Ferdinand Marcos Jr., Ferdinand Bongbong Marcos Jr. has vowed all-out support for the NTF.
Yes.
As a last question, Attorney, we've been talking about how there was a crackdown on dissent, there was a climate of fear and chilling effect. Say a young person is watching you now, gustong-gusto niyang sumali sa mga activist groups, he or she wants to be an activist, but also meron din siyang takot for the future. She doesn't want to end up like, let's say, Reyna Maynasino, who's in jail right now. May takot siya. Ano ang masasabi mo sa kanya ngayon?
Huwag matakot sa mga aktivista, makinig sa kanilang mga sinasabi, sumali sa kanilang mga discussion groups at mag-aral. Kasi yung pag-aaral ay hindi lang yung kaalaman ay hindi lang natutunan sa loob ng eskwelahan. Mas natututo tayo sa pag-aaral ng lipunan at yun ang ginagawa ng mga aktivista. They are discussing everyday issues and as an activist, yung ginagawa nila is not for themselves but they wanted a better society sa atin lahat. So huwag matakot at makinig, maging open-minded at hindi ka naman kasi pinipilit sumali o hindi. Kung meron kasi namang mali ay pwede mong sabihin sa kanila. At any time pwede kang lumabas sa mga organizations na ito. These are legal organizations. Hindi ito front as what the NTL LCAC is saying, front ng communist or terrorist group. These are legitimate organizations. They are protected by the Constitution and they are not doing any illegal activity. So, I encourage, mas ina-encourage ko pa na mag-join sila para mabuksan yung pag-iisip at makita talaga yung katotohanan sa nangyayari sa ating lipunan.
Attorney, despite the risk and being intensely demonized, why still do it? Why continue?
Mas lalo pang ang dapat pag-igihan na gawin yon. Dahil kung hindi gagawin yon, ay hindi natin ma-expose yung mga masasamang nangyayari sa ating bayan. At lalo tayong kawawa kung walang nag-oppose sa mga maling patakaran na ito. So, mas kailangan yung mga aktivista sa panahon ng pasismo, sa panahon ng paglabag sa karapatang pantao. Dahil that is one way of protecting human rights. That is one way of promoting the defense of liberties. At that is one way of telling the people and the world kung ano yung nangyayari sa ating bansa na hindi ka nais-nais. So yun yung kahalagahan noon.
that was Attorney Jobert Pahilga of Centro sa Para sa Tunay na Agraryong Reforma or Centra. I am Lian Buan. You are listening to the Law of Duterte Land podcast. Thank you.